Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us this week, and we're in the midst of the baseball season now. There's no doubt about that. And with us today is a, we're doing an interview that we did a couple of years ago in spring training with a guy who was with the San Diego Padres at the time, Ian Kennedy. And since then, Ian has become one of the top pitchers in baseball. In fact, he signed a contract with the Kansas City Royals, becoming the highest paid pitcher the Royals have ever had. And he is currently one of the top pitchers on the Kansas City Royals team. He's off to kind of a rough start. He hasn't got a win yet this year as we broadcast this, but he is pitching very well. And sometimes if you don't get the runs behind you, then you really don't get the wins. But Ian Kennedy is a guy that really is very humble. And we had a chance to sit down after a spring training outing a couple of years ago, like I said, when he was with the Padres, and have a chance to talk about baseball, his life, and especially his faith in Jesus Christ. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did a couple of years ago with Ian Kennedy, now of the Kansas City Royals. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today, coming to you from sunny Arizona. And we have with us a pitcher for the San Diego Padres, Ian Kennedy. Ian, first of all, thanks for being a part of Face to Face.
Well, thank you for having me.
You have known the highs and lows of the game, no doubt about that. You were drafted in the first round in 2006 by the New York Yankees out of the University of Southern California.
Yeah, Southern California.
Not South Carolina. University of Southern California. Did you feel any added pressure as a result of that draft?
Not initially. Being a first rounder, just part of, you know, younger, and you have the confidence in yourself, and you thought that's where you should be. You have a little more leeway as when you're in the minor leagues, just because you are one of the first rounders, you get a little more chances. But for the most part, I didn't really feel that added pressure being the first round pick.
You got up there pretty quick in the majors. A couple of years you were in the majors, and Southern Cal has put some pretty good pitchers together to come out of that team. You were following in the footsteps of Randy Johnson, Mark Pryor, Tom Seaver, Barry Zito. Is there some special aura about pitching or playing for Southern Cal?
I think we want to go there and play. We're all from Southern California. Yeah, for me, I just knew I grew up watching USC play places, teams like Stanford. You know, when UCLA is good now, but when I was younger, they weren't as good. They weren't as in the spotlight as I saw USC always in the World Series. My dad was a big USC fan, but yeah, I don't know what it is about bringing in all those guys like that. And when I went there, you kind of want to be one of those guys, but you don't think you are, just because, I mean, Tom Seaver is Tom Seaver and what he did in the major leagues. But Randy Johnson developed a little bit in college, but I think he developed a little more after college. But, you know, the guys that I saw, Mark Pryor, that was the guy I watched when I was in junior high and in high school. He was so dominant. It was just awesome to watch somebody like that pitch. And, you know, that's where I wanted to go as a kid.
You had a legendary coach, too, I think. Did you, or was he gone by the time you were there?
Mike Gillespie was my my head coach. He followed the footsteps of Rod Dedeau, but Rod Dedeau was there, and he's when I think it was my junior year, he passed away. Mm-hmm. But he was there every step, almost seems like every practice. But he was there every game, every weekend. He was there, calling you a tiger, rooting you on, passed on some knowledge, told some stories. But then Mike Gillespie, who I loved, I feel like he brought out the best in guys who really wanted to play and really wanted to win. And that's what I loved about him. That there are some guys that really didn't agree with that philosophy, and they ended up either transferring or he just wanted guys to be there and for to have that passion for the game. And that's why he was one of my favorite coaches.
I know that Yankee Stadium itself has an aura. Can you tell me about the first time you stepped on the mound in Yankee Stadium and what you thought?
The first time I stepped on the mound, I was warming up, and I remember throwing the ball down to second base, and I remember looking at where who was going to. It was going to Cano. The ball went around to Jeter. Next thing, it went to A-Rod, and the ball went to me. So I was thinking, man, like I just watching that ball go around the horn, it's like, man, I'm really playing with these guys. Because I didn't play in big league spring training. I started out in A-ball that year and worked my way up, high A, double A, triple A, and then a month in the big leagues. So first full season in the big league, I mean, in professional baseball, I made it to the big leagues. It kind of went really quick. There were moments during the season where, in that month, I was sitting alongside Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter, who's to my left, and I remember thinking, man, this is pretty awesome. And I was 22 years old thinking, I've seen these guys play on TV. This is pretty awesome.
I know a guy that I think Red had a special place in your life, too, was Mike Mussina. Tell me about Mike Mussina.
Yeah, Moose was, I mean, he was somebody that I've watched in high school. He was one of the best pitchers in American League. He was the one I replaced in the rotation.
Yeah.
And I never thought there'd be some – I could replace one of my guys that I watched and idolized and try to emulate. So that was something special. But then the next season, in spring training, he took extra time to get to know me and get to know the younger guys, because he knew it was his last season. And he won 20 games that year. But he said he wanted to take on more of a mentor role. And he had one of the best seasons of his career.
One of the things we talked about was the highs and lows as we started out. And I said, coming out at Southern Cal, signing with the New York Yankees, being with all those guys, that was great. But there was a time, I don't know whether you were the Yankees or after you got traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks, which in itself was probably a downer. Tell us about that and about the aneurysm under your arm.
Yeah. Just go through the seasons. 2007 was an unbelievable year where it was just on my way up and roller coaster, go right to the big leagues. And then 2008, I started the team out with the team. Made the opening day roster and pitched. I was the fifth guy in the rotation. And, you know, you get all these hopes that you're going to be you're going to be one of the guys. There's another guy, Phil Hughes, who I played with. We were going to be the two guys that are going to be the future for the Yankees. And yeah, that only lasted about a month because we both didn't pitch very well. He got sent down to the minor league, so did I. Got called back up, so did he. But for myself, that year was rough. But I always say that, like, when doing that, struggling like that, I really, really just kind of took upon what God was showing me. Like, I don't know, I felt like I was leaving Bible studies. I was trying to, you know, just become to know God more and just become like him. But I found out that I was holding baseball a little tighter than I probably should have. And I was kind of putting that on higher on the pedestal than I should have. So that season was great. It was just kind of, I remember during that season, pitched terrible. I think it was in Tampa. And I was in my hotel in Chicago, and I was talking to my wife, and I said, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm pitching like this. I never pitched like this before, and I never struggled like this. And we just, you know, we said a prayer that, like, kind of felt a really big relief taken off my shoulders of just, God, I want you to release this. I'm like, I'm holding this game way too tight. I want to surrender it to you. You get questions of, am I supposed to be playing this game? And I thought, you know, the whole life, I'm meant to play in the big leagues. I'm meant to do that. And I thought I've given it all to God, but I didn't. We always talk about when you make it to the big leagues, you hold it so tight, you don't want to let it go. So that year really helped my walk with God. And I really started to prioritize things in my life. And then 2009 came along the next year, and I started out with a team in AAA, which I was happy with, and just knew I had to pitch well. And I found out that I had my fingers were going numb, and I had an aneurysm in my shoulder. It took a little while to figure that out, but I think if I didn't go through that the year before, I would have been devastated. It would have tore me up just because I did hold the game so tight. I did hold the game on as is my number one, and I was really thankful that I went through that in 2008 just to have that release. And I think I had God to say, okay. And it was more of, okay, I don't know what's going on, but you know, this is one thing. I have surgery and an aneurysm. Found out that it wasn't life-threatening, which was good, and just another thing we have to go through.
How long did it put you out for?
I had surgery in May, and I didn't pitch again until September, so I think it was 5 months.
Our guest is...
Yeah, I was going to say that season's when the Yankees won the World Series,
yeah.
So I was able to pitch at least one inning against Anaheim in relief in order to get a World Series ring, so... And then I got traded, so it's like, it happened to be great.
Ian Kennedy's our guest. We are at the spring training site of the San Diego Padres, and we're going to talk a little bit more about him after this, but we'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back. Our guest is Ian Kennedy, the pitcher who has had great times. Talk about your time in Arizona. You were traded to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and you became their opening day starter 3 years in a row at Chase Field, Bank One Ballpark. It may have been then, but it's Chase Field. I know that leaving the Yankees was probably a disappointment, and it maybe took a little time to adjust to being a part of the Arizona Diamondbacks, but you became pretty much of an ace pitcher with the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, it was I looked at it as an opportunity just because, you know, being with the Yankees, it's tough. You constantly are, they're constantly signing free agents, and you're competing. And it was nice to have somebody, like I got a call from Josh Burns, who's now my GM now, traded for me twice. I mean, somebody likes me. And he said, hey, we want to let you know that we're giving you going to give you an opportunity. And AJ Inch said the same thing. He said, you know, we're going to have the opportunity to, we want to compete, but, you know, we know our future is in maybe a year or two from now. And we want you to be part of that future and adjust at the major league level. He said that, you know, with the Yankees, you didn't really have that. And I really believe that you're going to be a great pitcher one day for us. So it was nice to have your manager, your GM, tell you that, and it was a little bit of load off my shoulders, and so allowed me a little free up and just pitch to my potential, just pitch freely.
Well, you came through in 2011, 21 game winner, 2.88 ERA, fourth in the Cy Young voting. Had to have felt like you were back on top at the end of 2011.